This is HMM's Alexis Goldsmith, and I'm joined by environmental attorney Phil Oswald from Rep-Base Attorneys, representing Saratoga Sites Against Norlite Emissions. Welcome to the show, Phil.
Thanks, Alexis. Glad to be here.
So on February 10th of this year, the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation levied notices of violations against Norlite in Cohoes for fugitive dust. Can you talk about what these violations were?
Sure. Yeah, no. So the notice of violation is an administrative document that kind of starts an administrative enforcement process. It's basically putting the permitted facility, which of course here is Norlite, I noticed that they are in violation of their permit conditions. And for these two violations that were issued in February, both concern violations of Norlite's air permit.
So I took a glance at the violations, and one of them was about fugitive baghouse dust, where staff for the DEC observed baghouse dust basically being carried by the wind path off of Norlite's property and into the surrounding community. Can you talk about what the baghouse dust is?
So the baghouse dust is basically the material or ash that's collected following the incineration in the kilns that Norlite has on site. And basically the dust is collected now after it passes through some dry scrubbers. And Norlite, what they do is they take the dust and they put it on what's called a muck pile that's in their kiln processing area. And the muck pile is mixed in with other aggregate material that is eventually mixed together and put into their final product. That's what I understand where the baghouse dust comes from.
Now, my understanding is the baghouse dust is the ash that's left over after they've incinerated the hazardous waste. Is that fair to say?
Based on my understanding of it, yes, I think that's fair to say. Of course, I'm not a technical air permits expert, but I believe that that's correct, technically, that it's the ash that's kind of left over after they've burned what is often hazardous waste.
So the notice of violation found that the dust that in that instance that was escaping was 88% baghouse dust. Is there anything else you can tell us about the findings that the DEC observed in that are recorded in these notices of violations?
So I'll just say I think that the February, so the violation that is based on DEC observations that occurred on February 8th of 2021, that violation is the one where the DEC representatives actually state in the notice that they observed dust being carried from a block mix pile that's made up of 88% baghouse dust and 12% aggregate. That they actually observed being carried offsite to two Saratoga sites where another DEC representative was standing and observed that dust coming onto Saratoga sites. And the other violation was for storing dust in a muck pile that Norlite had told DEC that they did no longer store baghouse dust in an open pile, and the muck pile is an open pile. So basically that was not a truthful statement that Norlite had made back then, and they were violating the terms of their permits, of their air permit, that basically prevent them from storing air contaminants in a manner that they could be reintroduced into the environment. And the DEC basically found that the way that they were piling this on the muck pile, and because it was an open pile, there was a potential for it to be carried off site in fugitive dust emissions, which we of course know comes from the come from the Norlite facility, based on the February 8th violation. But this basically starts an administrative process where Norlite will respond, and usually, you know, what usually happens is it starts a prolonged period of negotiations between the facility and the DEC.
So this is an administrative step, and as you say, it's going to start a prolonged series of negotiations. But what does it actually mean for the people who are living at Saratoga Sites and the surrounding community, knowing that DEC has observed this baghouse dust leaving the site?
Well, again, I'm not a scientist or a technical expert, but you know, I would be concerned if I were living there. I'll just say that I wouldn't want baghouse dust from a hazardous waste incinerator being blown all over my living area and, you know, outside in the playground where my kids play. I certainly wouldn't want that if I was living there. And that's what I would say. What it actually practically means, as far as, you know, what effect this might have on the residents at Saratoga Sites and the DEC's process, well, that's really up to the DEC. They can, you know, continue negotiations and come to an agreement with Norlite and enter into what's called an order on consent, which will probably require Norlite to, you know, promise to comply with their fugitive dust plan, and might impose a penalty on Norlite, which will go to state funds and won't go to the people at Saratoga Sites. But what we've seen in the past is that the DEC has regularly done this, right? They've identified violations, served notices of violations, negotiated with Norlite, and entered into these orders on consent. But the problem repeats and continues to happen. It's been happening for decades. I think that's pretty clear to everyone now. So really, practically, I don't think this, unfortunately, means much for the folks at Saratoga Sites as far as will it stop in the future. But it is a cause for concern for them.
So the residents have called on the DEC to cover the to force Norlite to cover their open air piles in silos, and the DEC has not committed to doing this. Are there any other steps that residents could take to pressure the DEC to take more immediate action to protect their environment?
Sure. No, that's a great question, Alexis. So first, I think, you know, it's important to understand that DEC does have the legal authority to do that. They can seek what's called injunctive relief, and they can put additional terms in their permits to take whatever measures are necessary to completely stop any emissions from the facility. They could require them to build, you know, put the Syracuse Carrier Dome over the piles if they wanted to. They have the authority to do that. So residents should continue to voice their concerns, notify DEC of their complaints, and continue to demand, not just ask, but demand that DEC use the full extent of their authority under the law to make sure Norlite puts into place all the precautions that will prevent this from happening in the future. It's very difficult for private citizens to legally through courts to force the DEC to do this. The DEC has what's called prosecutorial discretion, which means they have a wide latitude of decision making rights, I guess, that they can decide whether or not they want to negotiate an order on consent with DEC, and short of measures that will completely stop this. A lot of that is in kind of their purview, and they, and only they, can make that decision. If they decide to not go for the fullest relief possible that would stop this, unfortunately, it would be very difficult for a resident of Saratoga Sites or a resident of Cohoes or Green Island or North Troy to kind of commence a lawsuit against DEC to force them to do that, because courts usually say that's within the discretion of the DEC. And if they choose not to prosecute for violations of the environmental conservation law, that's their decision to make. And a court really can't tell them to do it or not do it one way or the other. There's some exceptions to that. Generally, you citizens cannot force the DEC to do it. The citizens can, of course, commence their own lawsuits because there are rights that they have at law other than what is being alleged as being violated through the notices that they can seek to enforce themselves.
So these notices of violations have the potential for the DEC to levy fines against Norlight as a result of Norlight being out of compliance with its permits. But the fines that Norlight pays, you know, what happens to that money, and do the residents that are breathing in these emissions actually see benefits from the fines?
Well, theoretically, Alexis, you know, the fines should go, the fines do go to the state budget. And, you know, theoretically speaking, those fines should go to, budgets like the DEC's budget so that they can commence more enforcement proceedings, so that they can be more vigilant, hire more staff, get better equipment to better monitor and investigate Norlight and to make sure they're complying with the regulations and the laws that they have to comply with. Theoretically, that's what's supposed to happen. None of that money would ever go directly to the residents at Saratoga sites. Theoretically, that's what's supposed to happen with that money. Now, the violations say $18,000 for each separate violation. That's a statutory maximum that the DEC can impose if it chooses. And like I said, as part of the negotiations that will most likely occur, they might very well be occurring right now, they can reduce that amount if they want to. Again, a lot of the negotiation process, unfortunately, is kept out of the public eye. The DEC can do that directly with Norlight and not tell anybody about it. You really can't submit a FOIL request until after it's over, because the DEC will deny the request on the grounds that it's an ongoing active investigation. Unfortunately, a lot of that is kept away from the people who probably should know everything about it, the people whose lives and safety and health is directly affected by the conduct that is described in these notices of violation.
And one last question. The DEC released the press release or had a press conference about these notices of violations the same day that Saratoga Sites Against Norlight Emissions released their independent findings that the fugitive dust from Norlight contained silica dust and razor sharp glass. Now, do these notices of violations that the DEC has released, do they address the glass that's in the fugitive dust and the risks that are associated with that, like silicosis?
So not directly to answer your question, Alexis, they broadly, the violations broadly describe, fugitive dust emissions from, the block mix for the February 8th violation, and then the potential for emissions on the February 3rd violation. They don't say definitively, nor do they say that they've tested to determine whether or not the dust that is leaving that site has silica in it. But of course, what we do know, what's been public information now, is that there has been a lot of sampling done of this dust that's coming from Norlight, and we do know for a fact that it does contain silica, silica quartz, and that we do know is a carcinogen and very hazardous to people's health if they breathe it in or otherwise ingest it.
Is there anything about these notices that I didn't ask that you want to mention?
I'll just say that, I would hope that given the lengthy history of Norlight violating its permits, which, the DEC is fully aware of, they have a webpage that you can go and conveniently look at a lot of the violations that have occurred in the past. that, you know, there should be little room to give anything to Norlite during negotiations. I mean, I would understand why the DEC would negotiate down a penalty or a remedial measure with a facility that might have a one-off violation, but that is not this facility. And I would urge the DEC to take a hard stance as far as negotiations and to, you know, to bring the case to an administrative hearing. So if they can't come to an agreement during negotiations, the case can ultimately go to what's called an administrative hearing, which is a quasi-judicial hearing before an administrative judge where evidence is presented. And I think that that during that process, a lot more information would be brought out to light that I think folks at Saratoga sites and in the surrounding communities have a right to know about. And the problem with the negotiation process is it kind of cuts off that that discovery process. It kind of cuts off that fact-finding process. So not only do negotiations have the potential to, you know, let Norlite off the hook with a, you know, kind of minor penalty in the context of how much they make, but they also have the effect of, I think, depriving the public of a lot of knowledge of what actually did happen and what the DEC does know. So I would say to the DEC to prosecute this to the full extent of the law and to not negotiate the penalties down and to seek relief in the form of precautions that Norlite has to put into place to completely stop this dust material, including what we know contains silica, from leaving the Norlite premises.
This has been Phil Oswald, environmental attorney representing Saratoga Sites against Norlite Emissions. I appreciate your time today.
Thanks, Alexis. It was a pleasure.